Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and it really is now called Piedmont Medical Network. They have rebranded themselves, and I've got to get that straight in my head. Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care, online at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. So we've got this big old celebration coming up here on the 4th of July, the 250th anniversary of the founding of this good old country we live in. And we thought we ought to do some shows here on Straight Talk to try to show how important this region was to this whole thing called independence. And who else do we bring but the man from the mountaintop, Dr. Edward Lee from the esteemed Winthrop University. He had to walk all the way across the street in 100-degree weather. How are you, Eddie?
I'm doing fine. You got me something cool to drink, and I'm in the coolest restaurant in Rock Hill, so I'm happy.
You're ready.
And I'm glad to be here, and we're glad you're doing fine and your family is.
Well, you're very kind. So, and generally, for people who are new to this area, generally speaking, South Carolina is rich with American history.
400-plus battles, skirmishes, encounters. Maybe more than that, but 400 documented encounters. Every county in South Carolina has a connection to the American Revolution. More casualties than any other state occurred among South Carolinians. South Carolina is the epicenter of the American Revolution.
Isn't that something? You've written how many books about history that deals with all this?
Well, you know, writing is my hobby, and people ask me, you know, what do you do for fun? And I write. Well, I hope that doesn't bore people, and they usually listen to me, and then they step away. But, you know, I enjoy writing. I enjoy telling the story. So I've told the story about South Carolina a lot, and I'll keep doing it. I'm having fun. The American Revolution, like you said, Manny, is really important to us. And, you know, we have Carolina Day.
Oh, yeah.
That happened a week before the Declaration of Independence was signed. And there was an attempt by the British to take Charleston. And it failed because a German immigrant, you probably know this story from earlier programs you've done, a German immigrant, William Jasper, he decided that the flag needed to be fixed. And the flag had been splintered by the British as they came into Charleston Harbor.
Right.
And he patched it back together. And he used palmetto trees to kind of like make sure the British cannonballs didn't hit it again. And that's how that image got on our state flag. And so we're tied into the American Revolution. He's a great story himself. He wasn't there the second time when the British came back in 1780. They succeeded and took Charleston. But they didn't succeed in 1776 because of William Jasper, German immigrant.
You know, I think this area really got on the map nationwide when we had this wonderful movie done called The Patriot with Mel Gibson. And we all remember Mel Gibson tooting around town doing what he was doing, the Swamp Fox. But that really, I think, told a story about what was going on in the backwoods.
People went to watch it being filmed. They went to watch it being filmed in York County and in Chester County.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there are going to be various events as we get closer to July 4th and into the summer that are going to be like reenactments of that. And Mel Gibson, there are many people that are going to be listening to you today and this weekend. You know, they remember Mel Gibson, and they remember him coming here, and they remember him filming that movie. And I've watched it many times, and you have too. And it's a classic, and it's about the American Revolution. And it's about being drug in to fight for the values that a lot of us now think are very special.
I remember flying my airplane off the Chester Airport and looking down at the village the production company had built, which is where all the residents were put in the church, and they locked the doors, and they burned them all alive. You remember that?
I remember that. And, you know, Manny, one quick story about the Patriots, since you brought that up, is that after it was over, the guy that ran Channel 30 out at York Tech when they had the television station out there called me and said CNN was coming in, and they wanted to do, like, an interview about, you know, the Patriot movie and about the importance of the South Carolina upcountry. Would I come out to Brattonsville, which is right down the road? And I said, well, that'd be fun. And he said, and we'll walk around for about 10 minutes and we'll talk about, you know, Hollywood and history. And so I got out there, and there was a tremendous crowd. And I thought, well, they're not there for me. And they were there because Spike Lee was there. I guess he's my cousin. Spike Lee was there. And so he and I walked around that battlefield and talked about Hollywood and history. And he and I had a different opinion about that movie. But, you know, that movie is, people are going to talk about it as we get closer to July 4th because it happened here.
Now, for people, again, who have not discovered a thing called Kings Mountain, it really is a treasure. The Kings Mountain Military Park particularly, it tells such a story about what really was going on and how important that Battle of Kings Mountain was. And I know you know this chapter and verse.
Well, the folks up there have done a magnificent job with the signage and also the story that we talk about and what happened there. And, you know, it came in October of 1780, and the Patriots needed to win one. And, you know, Charleston had fallen on the second attempt. The British succeeded and took Charleston. And so the Patriots needed to win at Kings Mountain. And there were like 980 Patriots. And there were like over 1,000 people from the mother country. They were loyalists. And the commander was the best commander in the British Army, Patrick Ferguson. And he was so arrogant. I always explain to my students, Patrick Ferguson never looked in a mirror and didn't pause and go, "God, aren't you wonderful?" He thought he could take care of things. And he said, "I can subdue the rebels." Well, the rebels were at the foot of the mountain. And the rebels weren't going to be subdued in October of 1780. And so they taught Patrick Ferguson a lesson that October afternoon at 3 o'clock in 1780. They came up that mountain in three swarms, like hornets. And on the third attempt, they succeeded. And Patrick Ferguson was shot 8 times.
Oh, my gosh.
And he got stuck on his horse. And it's quite a scene. And for the rest of their lives, the 8 people that shot him sat around at the base of the York County Courthouse and said, "Well, you know, I was the one that kind of finished him off." I don't think we really know who finished him off. Cousin Rick.
That's all right.
And you know, Patrick Ferguson was a key figure. He's buried there.
Yeah.
And he's buried there, as I told you before we started broadcasting.
There's a story behind that.
Yeah, he's buried there with one of his mistresses. He had two mistresses. They were both named Virginia. And he's buried there with one of his mistresses. 25 years ago, I was invited by the National Park Service to come and be there when they exhumed the body to make sure he was where he was supposed to be.
Now, who raised that question about where it was?
Well, there had been stories that maybe the grave wasn't in the right location. So I went at 6:30 in the morning, and, you know, they started exhuming, and I thought, you know, this will be something for you to tell Manning Kimmel sometime on Straight Talk. So they exhumed the body, and he was there, but he also is buried with one of the mistresses, one of the Virginias who stayed loyal to him to the very end. She's there, too, in that makeshift tomb. So next time your listeners go to Kings Mountain Military Park and they walk that park, which is fun to do in the fall. When you walk that park and you can see exactly where Patrick Ferguson rests. He didn't subdue the rebels.
Now, when they exhumed him, did they just put him right back in the same place?
Yeah, it wasn't, to be honest about it. There wasn't much there. And, you know, 1780 is a long time ago historically. And so there wasn't much there. When he was shot those 8 times, the Patriots were so angry at some things that the British had done to Patriots over in Lancaster County, Beaufort's Massacre, and other places, that they kind of did things to the remains. So there's no funeral for him, and there's no official burial for him, but he's there. I can attest to that.
Sure. All right, so we win the Battle of Kings Mountain, and that kind of set the tone for how things were going to end up, given enough time. Is that about right?
Right. And then, you know, you've got a good background in history, and you know that what happens is, and then we meet the British at Huck's Defeat.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the reenactment is going to be held, you know, this summer, like it's always held, out at historic Brattonsville. And the Battle of Huck's Defeat is another victory for the Patriots. So, as Theodore Roosevelt said about Kings Mountain, the tide begins to turn.
Yeah, exactly right.
The tide begins to turn.
Now, I would tell you, I really would encourage people to go take that walk at Kings Mountain State Park because it's a paved trail. They've got stops every 100 yards or so. You press a button and your phone starts talking to you to say, "This is what happened here, this is what happened here." The one thing that I really remember about that walk was this picture of, I've forgotten which president that was there, but he drew a crowd of like 70,000 people.
Herbert Hoover.
Herbert Hoover
came down in 1930, and he said, it is a place of enduring history. That was his word. It's a place of enduring history. The governor of South Carolina came to the ceremony. The governor of North Carolina came to the ceremony. And they used new technology, radio.
Yeah.
And it's fitting that we're talking on radio today because they broadcast it. But as you said, Manny, 75,000 people came, and they heard him talk about enduring history. And the governors gave little speeches. And, you know, Herbert Hoover, that in 1930, he needed something good in his career because the Great Depression had settled in on us. But, you know, what a great moment. I tell the class all the time, that, you know, what a great moment. The president came to Kings Mountain, and everybody else who could find their way there came to Kings Mountain.
So he was there to dedicate the park?
He was there. The park was being dedicated. But he was just there to kind of celebrate what it is to be an American, which is what we still do. And that's what we still do this time of year.
You know, it was interesting. I had this morning on Palmetto Mornings an item. I've forgotten who did the survey. But it was 74% of Americans that were polled say they love being an American. Mm-hmm. The other 25 or 28%. Said they weren't quite sure about that. They were a lot younger. They didn't understand, you know, what America really is going to provide them versus what's going on in other countries. And as they get older, they'll learn that lesson, and they'll become more conservative and appreciate this country.
And, you know, Manny, we've got orientation going on for the class of 2030 across the street, which makes me feel kind of old in one regard. But the mamas and daddies were with them this week. And
yeah.
They were walking around, and they were admiring the beauty of that campus. And, you know, it's good for them to be reminded. And when I get them in class, I do remind them, you know, it's a special country and we've had special things happen in our past. Kings Mountain is an example. The American Revolution is an example.
Well, and you can go on. My gosh, we could sit here and talk about other major milestones in the American Revolution that were tied to the great state of South Carolina. I mean, as you pointed out, South Carolina was kind of the epicenter mm-hmm. of the American Revolution, which, you know, ultimately ended up.
And, you know, the last real battle in the Revolution was at a place called Eutaw Springs. And what happened at Eutaw Springs in 1781 was both sides, I think, were sick of the war and sick of the killing and sick of the destruction. And they both kind of decided, we're going to end it here. So at Eutaw Springs, which is down in Orangeburg County, they decided that they would fix their bayonets. And so they fixed their bayonets, and they went at each other with bayonets. Now, that happened at Kings Mountain, too. But bayonets were used at Eutaw Springs to kind of, let's see if we can't wrap this up. So they wrapped it up at Eutaw Springs. And at Kings Mountain, those patriots went up that mountain three times.
Oh, yeah.
And the third time, they finally got it right.
So meanwhile, when all this, the word of all this reaches Cornwallis, who is, you know, got his issues.
Well, he's in Charlotte and he's sick. And so he should have come down from Charlotte, but he didn't, thankfully.
Do you think that would have changed anything?
I think it might have helped. And I think Patrick Ferguson told him, I can do it without you. What a big tactical mistake.
Ah.
And Patrick Ferguson could have used some more help. He didn't get more help. And what he failed to estimate was the ferocity of the Overmountain men. The Overmountain men are our ancestors who were here and they were farmers. And they, you know, they didn't like being pushed around by the mother country anymore. And they weren't going to be pushed around on that October afternoon. And so there was no need for Lord Charles Cornwallis to come. And so Patrick Ferguson said he could take care of it himself. Well, he couldn't. And he had already made, like, threats against the farmers of the upcountry. He had already made threats against the Overmountain men. And he had told them, I'll burn your house down. I'll drive you out of this area. And, you know, that afternoon, that Saturday afternoon, October the 7th, 1780, I think a lesson was learned.
Yeah.
And the lesson, which I'm sure your family, as warriors, they understand too, is don't ever think you got it in the bag before you have it in the bag.
That's exactly right. Now, you mentioned Huck's defeat.
Yeah.
And they do that reenactment every year.
Yeah.
And it always falls on probably the hottest day of the year.
Oh, yeah.
And you wonder, how did these men, and that's what was fighting back then, was just men, how did they ever endure that heat wearing the kinds of clothing that they wore, dragging the kind of equipment they were dragging? I mean, it's just, that to me is amazing.
Well, their way of life was being threatened. And Patrick Ferguson and others had come through and burned them out and had trampled their fields. And so they were like, their backs were against the wall. It didn't matter how hot it was. They were going to fight back. And they did fight back.
And you know, that's probably one of the greatest lessons that you can learn from all of this, is that we had ancestors who were willing to risk everything to preserve this thing called America and freedom.
And I'd mentioned, too, that William Hardin was one of mine. He was 16 years old, and he would rather be plowing his field down in Chester County. But, you know, all his friends were meeting at Kings Mountain, and he was 16-year-old boy who turned into a man that afternoon.
You wonder whether, and I would like to think we would, but I wonder in today's world,
where
the same circumstances
were. It is to be determined.
But as one person told me, the one reason nobody's invaded the good old United States of America is because of the Second Amendment, and everybody's got a gun somewhere.
Yeah. And I think people have devices in their hands, and they're kind of like playing with the devices. Well, you know, there weren't any devices in 1780.
That's right.
And so it was kind of like hand to hand, bayonet to bayonet. But there was something essential at stake.
So if one of your students were to ask you, what is the biggest lesson to learn from Kings Mountain, how would you summarize that?
I think that the biggest lesson, and I tell my students that, because a lot of them are 17 and 18, is that when certain things are being threatened, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the people of the Carolina backcountry, they'll roll their sleeves up and they'll fight for it. And they did it. And they won. They won. So when people are threatened and the essentials are threatened or maybe taken away from them, they're going to stand up. And they did stand up.
It's amazing what the human spirit can
exactly.
can do
exactly.
Presented with a certain level of circumstances. Okay, we're going to have to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. What we do here is fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters, and at the count of three, you, even you, can participate. Ready? One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the friendly service, and I like that the meat's fresh and the food tastes good. They slice the meat right there in front of you.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
More than 40 years ago, Piedmont Medical Center opened with a promise to provide compassionate, high-quality care. This year, we step forward as Piedmont Medical Network. 2 hospitals, 4 emergency departments, and hundreds of dedicated physicians evolving to care for you today and for generations to come. As we grow and expand, one thing remains the same: our commitment to caring for our neighbors. We are Piedmont Medical Network. Find a doctor at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com/about.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
At Comporium, we don't have customers. We have neighbors, friends, and a business community we've proudly served for over a century. We live and work here, too. So we're invested in keeping the companies in our community connected and thriving. That's why when you call, Comporium answers. When you need reliable speed, we deliver. And when you need support, Comporium shows up in hours, not days. World-class technology powered by people who know your name and your business. Comporium, not just in your community, we're part of it.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
Enjoy the Italian sub with the salami.
I enjoy just the atmosphere.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. And, you know, what I love about this show is you just never know who's going to pop in. There's Eddie Lee who wants his picture taken with Rick Lee. Why anybody would want their picture with Rick Lee is beyond me. I haven't figured it out. No, go right ahead. We're on the air. That's okay, Eddie. No problem. Oh, no. See, Scott Oliver can't work the phone. So. There comes Charlie Ruffalo. There goes the show. This is fun, guys. And we're live on the air. Keep it. Oh, my gosh. This is like the professor walking out of the classroom.
Finish the program.
Now, wait. Eddie, we're on the air. Everybody's hearing what you're saying. You all right? You got under control.
No, I'm fine. It's a beautiful summer day, and you know we're kind of talking about the American Revolution, and we're talking about it where it was won.
Yeah,
King's Mountain. It even says that on our license plates, and that's where it was won. And
of course,
yeah,
of course, that license plate got us in trouble.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm not sure about that license plate. But Sergeant Jasper down there at Fort Moultrie, and he fixes the flag, and the palmetto trees are cut down, and they're spongy, and the British cannonballs would hit into them and would bounce off. And I mean, that was the way you win battles. Well, we won that one.
So, you know, it's interesting you mention that. We were going to get it right from the horse's mouth. Mm-hmm. Our state flag.
Yeah.
It has the crescent, and it has the moon and all that kind of stuff. Explain how that came about.
Well, the tree is from Carolina Day, which is when the British were, sending those cannonballs in, and they were bouncing off the palmetto trees.
That's right.
And the fort on top of the island, Fort Sullivan, Sullivan's Island. It wasn't finished, and so they were trying to survive, and so the cannonballs would bounce off of the palmetto trees. Now, when it comes to the cut place that looks like a little indention there, that's also part of that Revolutionary War heritage, too. So that flag goes right back to what we're talking about, the American Revolution in South Carolina.
That crescent is not a crescent moon. It refers to a plate that they wore around their neck.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, exactly.
You do hear a difference of opinion, but that's the right answer.
Okay.
That's the right answer.
You mentioned there were 400 battles.
In South Carolina?
In South Carolina.
Every state.
We've only talked about a couple of them. Yeah. What other ones would you want to make sure people know about?
Cowpens.
Tell them about Cowpens.
Early 1781, I mean, Kings Mountain had come and passed, and what happened at Cowpens in January of 1781 was they met at Cowpens. And it was another victory in the nick of time by the Patriots. And so Cowpens, I think Eutaw Springs, which I mentioned before we took our commercial break, is important. I mean, when you have to fight because you don't have enough ammunition and you have to fight with bayonets, hand-to-hand combat is important. Also, 96. 96 is important because 96 is kind of where we started fighting. And then we moved on to Charleston, and we saved Charleston. And then the British came back a second time, and they took Charleston in 1780. So those 400 battles, you can just keep a list, and you can just keep adding to that list.
So it started where? Its first one was where?
Well, I think it starts for us at 96.
Okay.
And 96 is in Greenwood County.
All right.
It's a park. It's a military park.
And it ends with Eutaw Springs?
I think it ends at Eutaw Springs, and it ends with kind of like those over-mountain men who were farmers. They were citizen soldiers. They weren't trained soldiers, but they were citizen soldiers. I think they took a breath and they figured out by early 1781, we're going to win this. We're going to win this.
So these 400 battles are occurring over a period of just a few years?
Well, 1776, right, which is when the first attempt at Charleston took place.
Right.
And it ends in 1781 at Eutaw Springs. And then Yorktown, which is not in South Carolina, but Yorktown, which is in Virginia. And, you know, but we get 400 of them. And so you can take a map, and we have that at the South Carolina 250 office in Columbia,
right,
which is kind of like the commission that I'm on, and it's the commission that's supposed to make sure that none of those places get left out. So there are 400-plus skirmishes, encounters, battles.
Whew.
Every county in South Carolina has one. Back in the winter, I went to Rouse's Ferry. Rouse's Ferry is in Dillon County. They weren't going to be left out. And so when the legislature established that commission, they said, and don't leave anybody out. And we haven't left anybody out.
Yeah. All right. We go, you know, we leave South Carolina, and then all this begins to work its way up the coast. We get to Virginia, right? Mm-hmm. And Cornwallis.
He's not sick anymore, but he's kind of sick of the fact that he's going to lose this revolution. And so he is at Yorktown.
Right.
And what happens at Yorktown, which is a peninsula, what happens at Yorktown is his back's against the wall. And who comes to our aid but the French?
Oh, yeah.
The French do. And that kind of leads me to something I tell my students about later in American history. And, you know, Lafayette, who was a French kind of expert on tactics, he was at these later battles. And he said, don't forget us. And, you know, we've had, like, several things happen in recent history of not forgetting the French.
Yeah.
And in World War II, when the landing at Normandy took place on D-Day, Lafayette, of course, was long gone. But Theodore Roosevelt first, Jr., who is like a World War I veteran, Theodore Roosevelt, Jr., said Lafayette, when he landed at Normandy's beach in June of
1944,
he says, Lafayette, we're here. Lafayette, we're here.
Yeah, I remember so clearly depicted in The Patriot, you know, at the end, you could see that exactly what you're talking about. We're up there having these final skirmishes right, up in right. The New England area and up in Boston, and then here come the French with all of their cannons and all their ships and boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. So
the French were our first allies. They like to point that out to us. And then, of course, President Trump likes to point out, but, you know, we saved you twice in the 20th century, and I don't think anybody can argue with that. We knew who our friends were,
yeah,
and the French were our early friends.
So as a historian, do you think we're doing, as a state of South Carolina, a good job?
I think that 250 Commission's doing a great job. Those ceremonies are all over the state. Marlborough County had one yesterday. Every county in South Carolina has a committee that's supposed to arrange the celebrations.
Right.
And they're doing that.
Yeah, we've talked with Bobby many times, yeah, about what's going on here. Yeah. And it's very nice. So, again, for people who are new to South Carolina, and they know nationally this 250th is here, it's upon us, what do you want to make sure that they know?
Well, I kind of think they ought to go to the website of the 250th, you know, the 250 South Carolina website. We have one in York County, too, for our tie-in to the revolution. And just look down at what they tell you about. You know, these are the things that were going on in South Carolina in 1780. And they talk more about not Kings Mountain, but all the other things.
Well, Eddie, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for your help in lining up some
everybody.
Of our guests.
Good to be back here. And we'll get together as we go through this celebration.
Okay. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, one more time. We're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Okay.
We get to do this one more time if we can break up the sidebar conversation over here. We got two people who you need to pay attention. Look at me, as Randy Lincoln said. Look at me. All right. We do fresh subs and salads. We do them. Eddie, we do fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week here at Substation 2 between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. Brick Lee is up. He's going to help us out. The count of three. One, two. Wait. One, two, three. Go ahead. Slice.
Guard.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio.
My students would say, can I have a redo?
Yep. Yeah.